And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. A new movie is out. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas, and it tells the story of Charles Dickens and how in 1843 he came to write his immortal classic, A Christmas Carol. So just as this film hits movie theaters across the country, Chestertown is launching a festival this weekend that celebrates the famous scribe. A Dickens of a Christmas includes storytelling, lectures, carriage rides, and even a run like the Dickens 5K race. Joining me from a studio at Washington College are Kay McIntosh. She's the Economic Development and Marketing Coordinator for Chestertown, and Katie Charles. She's a Dickens scholar who teaches English at Washington College. Welcome to you both. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
So, Kay McIntosh, Dickens, he holds a special fascination for folks, lo these many years later, 174 years after he wrote A Christmas Carol. It's an interesting idea to have a whole festival arranged around him.
Well, thank you. We have something in the past called Winterfest, and last year at Winterfest, which was about the same time of year, first weekend in December, we had horse carriages and we had fire pits, and we have beautiful architecture from the colonial and Victorian periods here in Chestertown, and it started feeling like London and Dickens, and so we started chatting about whether we could build a whole festival with a stronger Dickens theme, and everybody embraced the idea. We just have a lot of literary and artistic talent here, and so we thought, let's give it a try. I will admit that I thought this was such an original idea, but I have learned that there are successful Dickens holiday festivals going on across the country in Texas and Tennessee, and you know, but we think we're the only one in Maryland, at least this year, so we're looking forward to building a new tradition here.
Curses to that internet, you know, word gets around. Exactly. And so, Katie Charles, you know Dickens. You're giving a lecture tomorrow about how this very famous story of his, A Christmas Carol, haunted him. In what way was Dickens haunted by a story that's about being haunted?
Well, Dickens, part of his inspiration in writing A Christmas Carol in 1843 was to solve some of the real financial difficulties that he was facing in the moment. And his secondary or his primary goal was really to bring attention to the plight of the poor. This is the hungry 40s. I think as Americans we're most familiar with the potato famine that killed over a million people in Ireland, but food scarcity was a pressing problem in England as well, and people were quite literally starving. So Dickens knew that he wanted to bring attention to the plight of these people, and initially he thought he wanted to write a political pamphlet. He thought he would call it an appeal to the people of England on behalf of the poor man's child. But as the months went by in 1843, he changed the genre of his piece and decided that really writing a story would be the strongest way of touching people's hearts. And he described this as a sledgehammer that would come down with 20,000 times the force of the original political pamphlet. So when he finally decided to write a Christmas narrative, which he wrote in all of about 6 weeks, his biographer describes him as writing at a white heat, he was thrilled that he was able to sell out 6,000 copies from December 19th on the release date. Within a week, all 6,000 copies of the first edition were sold out. But then it was quite devastating for Dickens that he ended up making almost no money off of this publication because it was immediately pirated, and cheap copies plagiarizing his text were sold widely throughout London. He entered into 4 or 5 disastrous lawsuits to try to protect his intellectual property, and this really soured him on the law for the rest of his life.
I bet. And I understand that there were plays, you know, of A Christmas Carol that sprouted up right after the publication of the book. It's not like it waited, you know, they waited 3 or 4 years. I mean, this became an instant hit, didn't it?
It was immediate. By January 6th, one of the first cheap editions in print was hitting bookstores. This is the first publishing firm that Dickens sued. What's interesting is that Dickens actually wasn't bothered by the theatrical adaptations. And there were something like 8 theatrical productions running of A Christmas Carol by February of 1844, so just about 6 weeks after the novel was released. But Dickens himself loved the theater. He had actually aspired to be an actor himself. He had an audition set up, which he missed due to a cold. And he always channeled his dramatic energies into the public lectures that he gave. But he realized that The stage productions, he thought, were only bringing more publicity to his works. He didn't feel that they were robbing his actual royalties. That was a different case for the book editions. And he was very sour over the fact that the law did not protect his rights as an author.
And Kay McIntosh, it's interesting that the impetus, the animating sentiment behind Dickens writing this story was to bring attention to the plight of the poor. It seems like there's one or two things happening this weekend that are based or designed to raise some money for some nonprofits. So there's a 5K race Sunday morning, run like the Dickens 5K. I love that name. Is that going to support a worthy cause?
It is. The weekend is being organized by another nonprofit called Main Street Chestertown that's really all about downtown revitalization. But we decided to give proceeds from most of the events happening this weekend to the Kent County Community Food Pantry, which does such wonderful work feeding low-income people who really are strapped for food, especially this time of year. So I think the community is responding really well to that.
That's really nice. And Katie Charles, Dickens really did a pretty a study of what was going on with poor kids. In particular, he was reading the testimony of young girls who were sewing dresses at the time, and, you know, the sweatshops and stuff. This was at the time that, you know, middle-class consumers were starting to take over the marketplace. And Dickens really dove into the information available to him at the time about the plight of these of kids like this. It's not like he was a sort of, you know, distant observer of this, was he?
No, he would plunge himself into the actual workplaces and slums in which the poor were clustered. Two specific visits that helped him to helped inspire him to write A Christmas Carol. He went into some of the mines in Cornwall and saw tiny, tiny children laboring to help bring the ore up to the surface. And he also went into some of the ragged schools, which were basically charity schools set up in London to serve the poorest of the poor, the street children. And Dickens always felt a special affinity for these children in the sense that he had suffered many reverses as a child. His father's debt had driven him out of school and to work at in a blacking factory. And he saw this as incredibly humiliating and shameful. And he often returned to this idea that for all the care that had been taken of him, he might have ended up like one of these street children whom he often referred to as vagabonds. But he also was quite afraid of this idea of popular unrest, and that if working and living conditions for the poor were not improved, this could lead to mass uprisings in England. He wanted to forestall that through benevolent employer practices and charity.
And Kay McIntosh, we just have a little bit of time left, but you're working on economic development for the city of Chestertown. I wonder, last Saturday was Small Business Saturday. Many of the businesses, certainly in the downtown area in Chestertown, are these, you know, small independent businesses. Did you see an uptick? And are you hearing from the merchants in and around Chestertown that business is good so far this holiday season?
Yes, I think it has been good, and, you know, it's always lovely to get a crowd of people in, for instance, for the Dickens Festival, and the shops will be open, and if people want to do some holiday shopping, we have wonderful independent boutiques ready to sell them gifts and clothing, etc. So it has added a lot of energy. Last weekend here in Chestertown, like many small communities, that was the weekend that Santa came. We had our Christmas parade, and that kicked off our holiday season. So this is a wonderful follow-up to that, with really a street festival on Saturday. We've got tonight, we've got fire pits, carriage rides, ornament making, just a real festival atmosphere downtown tonight. And then tomorrow a street festival with
sounds like lots of reasons to head to Chestertown for the weekend.
It's going
to
be
great.
A great weekend, so all right. Come on over.
Kay McIntosh, she's the Economic Development and Marketing Coordinator in Chestertown. Katie Charles is an Assistant Professor of English at Washington College. Thanks to you both, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks very much.
Katie Charles will be giving a talk entitled How a Christmas Carol Haunted Dickens. That's tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Book Plate on Cross Street in Chestertown. It's one of the many events that are part of this weekend's A Dickens of a Christmas Festival in Chestertown. Come to our website, wypr.org/midday, for a complete list of all the events going on. By the way, the movie about Dickens writing A Christmas Carol, it's called The Man Who Invented Christmas. It is in theaters now. And here in Baltimore, the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company is presenting their adaptation of A Christmas Carol. Previews start on Thursday, and that opens on Friday. That'll do it for us today. Coming up Monday, Investing in Girls. We'll talk to the head of an organization that teaches young girls financial literacy and gets them interested in careers in the very male-dominated financial services industry. We'll also talk to a personal finance expert about how to manage our money. The stock market is at an all-time high. Given the demands on our money in this holiday season, what's the best way to do what we need to do today while preparing for the future? That's all coming up Monday on Midday. By the way, I also want to let you know about a special forum on education that I'm going to host Sunday morning at the Bolton Street Synagogue. Four members of the Maryland legislature will be on a panel, and we'll talk about legislative priorities in the upcoming season, or upcoming session, that the assembly is going to be considering with education in mind. So the event begins at 9:30 Sunday morning at Bolton Street Synagogue over on Cold Spring Lane. So I hope you can join us. We want to thank Marie-Louise Bistro for lunch today. They're located on Charles Street in Mount Vernon. They specialize in a blend of French, Italian, and Mediterranean cuisines. They're open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They got brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Menu and reservations at MarieLouiseBistroCatering.com. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknall. I don't mean to brag. I don't mean to drop names, but we're close personal friends. Rob Sivek, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Kremple is WYPR's digital producer. Austin Coghlan from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. We are grateful for production assistance from Sienna Grease. I'm Tom Hall. Appreciate your listening. Have a great weekend.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.